This is Thrive Perspectives, an ever-growing discussion about the issues and ideas that shape our lives with your guide, Dr. Matthew Jacoby.
What do people mean when they say, "I felt God say"? Is it an audible voice, a whisper in the heart, or simply a strong impression? How do we know if what we sense is truly from God or just our own thoughts, emotions, or desires? And why do some people speak with such confidence about hearing God, while others of us wrestle with silence, doubt, or confusion? This is Stu, your host of the Thrive podcast, and in this episode of Thrive Perspectives, we're not rushing to tidy answers. Instead, we're actually going to open up the questions. What does it mean to hear God? How do we discern between divine guidance and human imagination? And what role does scripture, prayer, community, and mystery play in shaping our understanding of God's voice? Let's join Matt and Connell as we consider if the question isn't just how God speaks, but how we learn to listen. Welcome back, Connell, from sunny Queensland. Welcome, Matt, back in the studio.
We've been debating, you know, climate. whether cool climate or warm climate is morally better for us. That's a good topic, lads, for a what's the better sort of spiritual moral environment, warm weather or cool weather?
Yeah, I don't know.
To me, the answer's clear. It's cool weather. This is where we thrive.
Yeah. Great.
Oh, see, it was a great
mix. What you did with that. Well, welcome, listeners. Thrive Perspectives, as Matt says. I think Connell suggested to us this morning when we welcomed him back from his time away in Queensland that he felt like he was really on mission coming back to Victoria, to cold,
Victoria.
I hate it every time.
Yeah, and you it's also admitted that in warm weather, all you ever feel like doing is lying around, lazing on beaches.
On the beach.
So there we go.
On the beach, asleep.
So it's good. Anyway, so listeners, it was basically I won that argument.
And on that context, we'll refer you back to our episode on happiness, why it's not a good idea to be just lying on the beach. Anyway, again, welcome, listeners. Great to have you with us. Today, we're going to pick up the topic, and we've heard this phrase used a lot, even in our podcasts, and we hear it probably used a lot around the Christian community is, I heard God say, or God spoke to me. God said to me this. And it's going to be a great conversation to talk about what does that mean and how can we discern God's voice, given the contrasts we see in Scripture. If we look at Elijah, you know, God's voice was not in the wind, it was not in the earthquake, it was not in the fire, but it was in a gentle whisper. But then contrast that to Mount Sinai, and here's the whole mountain shaking and God speaking. And God speaks in many different ways, sometimes pretty quietly and other times.
I think we do need to be careful when we say things like God said this and God said that, particularly in a church context where we want to have people new to faith, because it's very confusing. A number of people have said to me that they were quite confused when they hear Christians saying, and sometimes it's quite offhand, you know, like I said this and God was like, and then I was like, and then God was like, it's like conversation going on that feels very like a human conversation that we would have. Now, it can be very confusing to people. So I just want to sound a note of caution there, because we really need to be intelligible as Christians.
Yeah.
I think this is really important, intelligibility. But having said that, God does speak to us, and, you know, we want to emphasize that today, but we also want to emphasize some things about how God speaks to us. And the reason that we want to emphasize the fact that God speaks to us is because the meaning of life really is our relationship with God. The relationship with God that we have is the core of everything. For example, that God came to us in Christ to pay for our guilt so that we could be reconciled with God. Not just so that we could have sort of theoretically be related to God, like in the right status, but to actually have a day-to-day relationship with God.
Yeah.
Now, relationships are communication.
Yeah.
Without communication, there is no relationship. And communication, by definition, is two ways. And in fact, in the Cambridge Companion to Christian Doctrine, there's an excellent article by Kevin Van Hooser where he makes an argument about what it means to be created in the image of God is to have this property of personhood, which is essentially relationality, like it's the capacity to have communion with God and with one another, which language is a key aspect of that. So we're sort of centers of this relationality, which is expressed through language. And language, of course, is one of the key things that is unique to us as human beings. So again, communication. This is all to underscore the fact that communication, you know, is a key to this relationship. And essentially, prayer is communication with God. It's communion with God. And we want to emphasize this is a two-way thing. Now, one of the issues that, you know, a lot of people express to me when I ask the question, what is the biggest struggle when it comes to prayer? And for a lot of people, the biggest struggle is I feel like I'm talking to a wall. I feel like I'm just throwing my words out to the sky and there's no reply. Now, one of the first initial principles, I think, that's just because we want to just build a bit of a foundation for this conversation. I think one of the most important principles for me that's been important for me is to recognize that in relation to God, we are always in a position of response. So we didn't initiate, we never initiate the conversation. God is already speaking to us pretty much all the time. And I think where we go wrong is we see ourselves in the position of the initiator, when actually the best way to step into conversation with God is to acknowledge the fact that he has already been acting and speaking. Now, as it so happens, and this is another point that's important, is that for God, speaking and acting are one and the same. I'll come back to that.
Yeah.
This is a very important principle,
yeah.
Because this is different. This is different to us. This is about the uniqueness of who it is that we are in conversation with. So understanding who it is that we're in conversation with is enormously important. Now, part of that is understanding that God is always prior in the sense that he is already at work, he's already speaking, he's already acting, and we're responding to that. Even if it's simply acknowledging his presence, acknowledging what he's doing, it's worship, it's praise. This isn't a technique, by the way.
Follow,
you know, there are plenty
steps,
of psalms, yeah, that jump straight into, yeah, whatever mode that they're in. I mean, there's some that begin with praise and worship, because I know that some people say, no, if you've got to pray, you've got to start like this. No, you can just pour out your heart to God.
Start
where you are, right?
Yep.
There's no rules here as such. Except I think to acknowledge that we're not invoking God. We're not in this situation where we call out to God and God sort of gets in his chariot and comes down from heaven. Oh, I think someone's talking. Mm. I'll come and I'll be in the room with me. You know, so we have this sort of idea that, well, God, I prayed, but God didn't turn up.
Yeah. So this is kind of almost like as if we've sort of viewed prayer as we're giving God this window to speak to us. Like I've set aside 1 minute, you know, to pray this morning because I'm busy and I've got things to,
yeah,
do. So I've got to do, you know, whether it's a minute, whether it's 10 minutes, it doesn't matter, an hour. It's like I've given God a window that we're going to talk. And it's like I expect that God's going to speak to me in that time that I've allotted.
Yeah.
And then when he doesn't speak, does that mean that that was it? That was his chance to speak to me? And then we move on with the rest of our day.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I've had to let go of is this idea of it's almost like I'm in control because I've given God the chance to speak,
yeah,
and I'm waiting and he doesn't speak. Oh, well, he didn't speak. But what I have learned to do is I think spending time in prayer helps reposition you and reorientate you for the day. And it's as you go through the day that God does speak to you in some way, not as a voice, but more of a sort of a directional, just all your thoughts and your thinking and so on. So it's not.
And we'll dig into that.
Yeah,
a little bit more.
It's not, yep, just about giving God that little portal to speak to us and then we close it down after we finish,
yeah,
praying.
Yes, obviously that quality time is important. So at no point here are we saying not that a prayer time isn't important, but it's got to have a context in a relationship that is constant. We've got to be careful that our prayer life does not reduce down to a sort of appointment that we make,
yeah,
with God and we've ticked and then we go off, we live our lives.
Yeah.
And then we come back and we visit God. This idea of sort of visiting God isn't the way that this is meant to work. Like, mm, we're meant to live by the Spirit and do life with God all the time. And I think for a lot of people, I think that should be the initial challenge. I mean, if the quality time with God is important, it's important because it's time that we need to really, I guess, pray for that, pray for a great awareness of God during the day. I mean, there's some bigger issues here with hearing from God. One of the things, and I mentioned this before, and let's dig into this now. This, I think, is the core to the perhaps the difficulty that for God speaking and acting are one and the same. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, if you go back to Genesis 1 and it says, you know, God said and there was, God said and there was. So when God speaks to us, it is never just information in our minds. There's always a transformative element to that. Now, what this means is that if you don't want to change, you won't really hear God. Now, this is not to say that there's not a, because there's a sort of external witness, right? I mean, when we share our faith with people, people can hear the words and, but can still not allow God to really plant that in their hearts. It's the walled hearts, hard-heartedness is the way that that's put. You know, Jesus addresses this, doesn't he, in Matthew chapter 13. And in fact, that repeated statement in the Gospels and in Revelation, whoever has ears, let them hear. Now, what does that mean? And Jesus addresses this in Matthew 13. Essentially, it means if you are willing to hear, then hear. I'm going to hear what you say. All that you can do is form words and throw a few sound waves my way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your words could be compelling. They will have a certain impact. Our words always have more than just a informational impact on other people. That's certainly true. But because God is all powerful, when he speaks, his words are going to be transformative. And yet we know that God hasn't created us to be robots. He has given us the prerogative to choose or not choose to yield to him as God. We can either worship God or not worship God. What that means is if you don't want to change, if you don't want to be yielded to God, if there are things that you are holding on to, things that you don't want to change, then you won't hear that. Now, that's already true, isn't it, on an ordinary level?
That's true in our ordinary relationships, yeah. I think. If my wife wants to tell me something that I really don't want to hear, I kind of, it goes in and out and I kind of move on.
Yeah.
Know? I mean, that's, we I mean, I'm talking about, it, I'm talk, seriously, about things yeah. that I need to address in my life. If she's kind of going, you know, being brutally honest and I don't want to hear it, then I don't hear it.
Yeah. And often we choose misunderstanding. I don't understand. What are you talking about? I don't understand what you're talking about. Like,
and we don't even try to understand.
That's right. Mm. So often it's the case that we could, but we don't want to.
You still know that someone's talking to you, but it's the silence that I think people feel.
When talking with God.
Yeah, with God is that, like you said before, you know, it's like you're just sort of speaking into the air. There's nothing comes back. It's not even like I'm not even listening.
Now, hang on. Who are you talking about? Are you talking about us or God?
Well, how it can feel for the silence people. Of God. People describe it as that. Because I've been there myself. I know what it's like to sit and seek God and really sort of yearn to hear from him and to feel like your prayers are going nowhere, like there is silence.
Yeah, but my point here is that it's actually the problem is the other way around. Primarily, God is the one that's getting the silence in the sense that he's speaking to us. So let's say, for example, again, I just want to sit at this foundational level for a moment. This is a very biblical point, the fact that Jesus says, whoever has ears, let them hear. What that means is, again, to labor this point, not hearing from God, the main issue there is an unwillingness to hear, because it's not just about hearing a sound. It's pure act, in a sense, for God. Now, we know this, we've just said, we know this in ordinary life. We know that you can hear people's words and yet not really hear them out of an act of unwillingness.
Yeah.
Well, with God, it's much more polarized. Now, he does speak to us in an external witness. He speaks to us through other people. He speaks to us through his word in the Bible. We'll talk about that in a moment too. But the thing is, if you're unwilling to receive the thing that God is saying to you at any given time, right? I'm talking about at any given time, then essentially you're the one that's giving the silence. So let's say, for example, you know, let's say you'd really offended me, you'd really grieved me in some way, Connell, right?
Yep.
And I said to you here today, I said, Connell, I felt really disrespected when you did that before. Like I'm really grieved by that. And let's say your response is, hey, Matt, can you come and give me a hand moving my couch later on? It was like you didn't
even register.
You didn't even register, right? Yeah. That would class as a miscommunication from the start.
Yeah.
If that, in a real situation, right? If that happened, I would be horrified.
Yeah.
Hang on. Did you just hear what I said? And then let's say you said, you know, can you come and help me? And I'm like sitting there just looking at you, like shaking my head. And you're like, oh, Matt's so mean. He doesn't even respond to me.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? This is the situation that I think we're often in with God. And the more you tune into this, the more you realize how constantly God is actually addressing things in our lives and why this conversation with God needs to be constant, right? Mm-hmm. I come away from a conversation which, let's say, you know, I've had a meeting or something and I come out of that meeting and I just feel that prompting, you know, God's just convicted me of the fact that that was all about you. You just flew your own flag there. That was completely opportunistic. You missed a real opportunity to love and affirm people in that last half an hour. Like, I got to respond to that.
Yeah.
Well, the question is, what do you do with it? Now, some people just move on, as you were just saying.
Yeah, no, don't move on.
That's right.
Because you are walking with God through your day. I find now, even in those moments, it's like, oh, what am I doing here? I'm just completely. And even that there's a, and this is the essence of what it means to live a repentant lifestyle. Now, repentance, by definition, is turning around, turning back to God, right? Mm-hmm. And a repentant lifestyle is recognizing that we're always wayward, like we go off. It's like correcting. Oh, you keep coming back to God, right, through your day. So that moment where I realize, you know, it's all about me, and I'm all, you know, it's in that, even in the middle of some moment, right? Mm. That corrective is me responding to God. It's the prompting of God in that moment. If I don't get it in that moment, it's after that moment. If it's not after that moment, it's please in your prayer time. Has God, you know, I'm acknowledging God, like it's allowing yourself to hear perhaps what God is most concerned with in that moment, right? Yep. Which means, this is what I'm saying, in relation to God, we're always in a position of response. He's already been addressing us through the day, right? And so some acknowledgement, some sense of connection with what concerns God most, what concerns God most, because I have concerns. In our example, you have concerns. You need a couch moved, right? You want me to give you a hand. My concern is much deeper. My concern is that there's been a breach in the relationship. Now, I guarantee in relation to God, His concern is always the most important thing. It's always going to be the most important thing. So you start there.
Yeah. So when I look back at my own sort of journey through that, I can definitely relate. Going through that sort of initial time where I've had to sort of deconstruct my faith was really initiated by a sense of that distance and God not speaking to me. But looking back at it, in the moment, it felt like God's not speaking to me. There's a silence. But looking back at it now, I realized that God was speaking to me, but it was more of a speaking of leading me to a place where I was able to hear what He wanted to say to me.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to hear at that point.
Yeah.
And so He had to lead me into...
What do you mean you weren't able to hear, just to define that?
I'm not able to understand. It's almost like if God was to say to me something, I would probably just reject it straight away, because I guess I think of myself as like a sponge. Am I ready to absorb what God wants to say to me at that point?
Yeah, it's just that it's the word able that I think probably needs to be changed to willing.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Because God's not going to speak. I mean, He's going to do what He knows you're ready for.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to hear. No, if God's doing it, you're ready for it. Like, God knows which order. I mean, and the other problem is too, and at the moment we're working more on the conviction level, right? Which is, I mean, it's a good level to start, because this is how this, in a sense, if we're always in a position of response, we're also in a position of deep imperfection. And that's putting it nicely.
Yes.
Okay. So one of the things that goes wrong there is, okay, so throughout the day, there's been these little moments of, let's call it rebellion, little moments of going astray. Now, if you've just left that, I think in the first place, you know, you're going to feel this sense like, oh, I'm just, things are not quite right here. Now, I think what happens there, I think if you don't take that to God, bring it into the light, if you stay in the darkness, then guess whose voice you're going to hear? It's not God's voice. Mm. It's going to be the voice of the accuser, or Satan, as the word is in the Bible. That's going to become condemnation in the darkness, right? And then, because there's also deception, condemnation, and it's the lethal combination, right? It'll be condemnation with a mix of deception that throws it back and blames God. well, God doesn't want anything. Mm. God's not, you know, it's this, I think, coming back to, well, there you go. God doesn't turn up because God doesn't care about you because look at you. Mm. It's all of that sort of stuff yeah. that happens.
When I look back at my journey through that time, when I think about it, I think what I was looking for in God speaking was almost like validating his existence in a way. It came with conditions. The reason I wanted to hear from God is because I wanted to know that he's actually there. But when I look back, what started that journey for me, I had headphones on and I was listening to worship music, and that was the environment I felt that I could encounter or feel God close to me. And the words dropped into my mind at that point to turn it off, because I needed to find God in the real world without immersing myself where music takes you. You know, you can immerse yourself in the presence of God. Just, you know, you're placing yourself kind of into that environment. Mm. And he wanted me to turn it off and to seek him in normal everyday life. And so that was a moment I know I heard from God. It came in and it was just there. And it was like, oh yeah, I do that. And then I chose to do that, but then I couldn't find God without immersing myself into that environment.
Mm.
So that's where I was kind of longing for God. I need some sort of connection there. And then as I went through that journey, there was an outright rejection of God. I became sort of quite hostile to God and walked away from God and tried to figure it all out in my own mind. And when I look back at it all, that figuring it out, all of that journey was God speaking to me, because he was trying to break me down to a point where I would be willing to let go of my need to validate and prove and understand and control and comprehend.
Mm.
That's what he was doing. And when I look at it and I look at the things I thought I was doing, I was choosing to be hostile to God and
yeah.
angry and argumentative and then to try to construct arguments against
and
God.
And maybe God was stirring up that so that you could see all
exactly.
of that.
Exactly. And so now, in the moment, that felt like silence of God, total rejection.
Yeah.
Now I look back at it, I'm amazed, because what I yeah. thought was my thoughts, they're probably my thoughts, but God was there sort of like molding and shaping, and he had guardrails. I think yeah. I had guardrails up. He kind of like shuffled me along so that I'd come out the other end in a place where I could actually hear what he wanted me to hear,
yeah.
because now I'd lost the need for proof and to be in control of certainty and so on yeah. around God. You know what I mean? Like I'd lost all of that. I let God be God. And then God says, now you can hear. I felt like I put myself in a place where God could actually speak, and I was willing to listen.
Yeah, you're
and
more
open
responsive.
To correction.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we got past the point of proof and all of those sorts.
Yeah, and that was something that God did. This is the thing about God speaking and acting. Like, he wants to address things, so he will often put us in circumstances that bring certain things to light.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of the ways that God speaks to us. He allows us to see things, you know. He shows us things and we see it very directly in ourselves, if we're willing, again, because God might put you in a situation that highlights certain infections in your character. It's like pushing on the sore spots, and we can blame other people, run away from the situation, anything, but actually respond to what God is saying to us through that situation. And what by saying to us, I mean, what is God highlighting in that? What is God bringing to the light that I need to respond to? I'm just aware that this sounds a little negative, like, you know, God's always criticizing us. I mean, for me, this is actually a really beautiful thing, because there's so much grace in this. Essentially, what God is always doing is saving us.
Mm.
And the experience that I have when I sense that correction of God, it's experience of God's love and grace.
Mm. Yeah.
You are saving me all the time, right? It's not like, oh, great, God's like a criticizing voice all the time that you sort of tire of. No, it's actually the opposite. It's almost like God putting his arm around me and drawing me back beside him to walk with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a beautiful, constant thing. And I would say my experience of God's love and grace is primarily in those moments. The enjoyment of God's love and grace is in his salvation. And of course, if you look throughout the Bible, the greatest experience of God's love, what does it look like to experience God's love? It's most often experienced in a salvation context. I love the Lord. He heard my voice. He saved me, right? Mm-hmm. He pulled me up from the miry clay. He did these things. And so, oh, wow, God really does. He loves me. So that's what these experiences, they're not negative. They're enormous. They can be enormously, I'm going to say, enjoyable. Yeah. In the literal sense of that word.
Yeah. I think how you describe that is shaped by our level of trust and understanding in who God is.
Yeah.
Because I think back as a parent, you know, when I want to tell my kids, don't touch that, you'll get burnt. And of course, they just think in the moment, Dad won't let me do anything kind of thing. But it's because I love them. I want to protect them from getting burnt.
Yeah.
And so it's how we view God's redirection. I want to come back to one thing, though, and I am staying a little bit on the negative. But for me, I think the example you gave when you were talking about Connell on the couch and he'd done something that had grieved you, I feel like for me, over the years, there have been times when God brought something to the surface for me and I've kind of glossed over it. And then I've wondered why God is it. And he's kind of like, he's waiting for me to come back to this thing. I've just moved on. Even if it's just, oh, I really can't face that right now, God. But in the meantime.
And he's saying, I want to meet you here.
We've got to deal with this first. And I feel like that's something that we've got to guard against as well, is where people use the term short accounts. But I think it's a way of making sure that we're always open to God's direction and leading.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, he will want to come back to this issue before he's willing to move on to these other five things, you know. And I think that's an important point to make.
And the fact that he is doing that, that he is always saving us, this is also partly why a response of praise and thanks, and because of his perseverance.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus, that you're still at the door knocking and you keep knocking at the door. You know, even if I've been shutting you out, it's like, you know, our response is always a combination of, oh, Jesus, I'm sorry that I've grieved you, but thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love for me that you keep saving me.
And isn't it interesting? We always think about God the way we think about our relationships, where someone's offended us and they've not apologized. Or we don't want to see them or talk to them, and we kind of avoid them. And yet from God's point of view, no, let's get this done. But we have to be willing to bring it to the surface, as you said before, Colin. We have to let God bring it to the surface and then actually face it rather than bury it.
I think one of the reasons too why it is enjoyable to have God speak these things to you is because I think it's because we're willing to hear it at this point. We're open to correction, or we're open to whatever it is that God wants to tell us. We're sort of yearning for him to tell us. He's brought us to that point. And it's enjoyable too, because I think when he does speak, obviously it has a lot of weight to it. The fact that he's investing into us to speak to us, it's a recognition of the fact that I know that you're willing to hear. It means I've moved. Yeah. And again, when I look back over all different stages of my life, it's like there's a phase of, you know, it might be whatever I'm reading in the Bible, or it's just what I'm thinking about in my thoughts and what I'm hearing, and ideas are going through my head. And so there's like a journey of some kind of like seeking, which is there constantly.
Yeah.
And we've
talked about the importance of seeking as an act of essentially orienting our desires towards God, so that God becomes God for us. And to be God is to be absolutely first, prior, everything. And so seeking is us putting God first, so that we're seeking God as God.
And it's a movement. I see it as a movement, like we're moving somewhere, that act
so
of
that's
seeking
very
itself.
Yeah.
Often I find at the end of that, it ends often with, becomes clearer of what God's saying to me. And I've spoken about it as well. Like there's been times where, you know, just recently, a few months ago, and I told the story where I'd been thinking about the tabernacle and the sacrifice and the weight of, you know, how important that God puts on detail and how sloppy my relationship with God kind of becomes, you know.
It's taken for granted.
It's taken for granted. Yeah, and I'm not consistent and, you know, sometimes I want to spend time with God and often I don't because I've got other things to do. And then I recognize that within myself and it creates some turmoil and why do I do this? And that's when God brought me to that point where I really felt like he said, you know, when I was out for a walk, go and sit down there. And I felt like I'm going to have an encounter with God. And God said, you're not ready to have an encounter with me in a way that's really tangible, which is what I was kind of feeling at the time, because you don't respect me.
Yeah. And we still need to address that. And God says, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to that.
But it ended up with that. And that's kind of a negative thing in a way. I don't respect God, but...
But it's because he wants to move you to a point where
Why did God speak then? Yeah. It's because I was ready to hear it. And when I heard it, it's like a light
bulb. Yeah, because it's the sponge thing. He's softening the sponge, you know, because often there's a work to do to actually soften our hearts, to receive. And us seeking actually is meeting his desire for us with our desire for him. And that's, you know, seeking God is an important way of, it's almost like tuning the station.
Yeah.
It's tuning our desires so that our desire for God becomes the greatest desire, which then actually is part of preparing our willingness to hear from God.
Yeah. Mm. That seeking is in the time you feel like you're doing it, you're doing the seeking, you're doing the thinking and wrestling with it. But when you look back on hindsight, I feel like it was like God actually
speaking. Yeah, yeah, that's good.
Like
yeah.
it's a continuous thing. It's not this.
God speaking slash acting.
Yeah.
Like drawing
you. That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's
it's
right.
moving
yeah.
you along. And all of those things that you thought that you were doing and was coming from you, it was, but it was also directed by God. To get you somewhere.
That's right, because we don't just pray to God, we pray with God in the sense that God, the Holy Spirit, is stirring up and awakening our desire and longing for God. And when we seek, it's agreeing, it's moving with what the Holy Spirit is doing.
The focus has been a bit on prayer, which is great. I want to just finish on that by saying one of the lessons I had to learn was I need to be willing to listen as long as I was willing to speak.
Yeah.
So often I'm praying all the things I want to pray and it's like, all right, I got to get going. And God's going, I was just going to speak to you. And it's like I've moved on and gone on. So I think it's important that we actually allow time to sit and listen to what God
has
to say in our prayer modes. But I think God also obviously speaks through his word, the Holy Spirit, we've talked about that, which interacts, I think, also providentially through circumstances, but also his community, the church. So there's many different ways that God can speak to us in speech marks. But I think an important thing perhaps to say here is it'll never contradict his word or his son. In other words, we can always test when we think we're hearing from God against God's word and against the life of his son, Jesus, right?
Yeah. I just want to dig a bit deeper there, because one of the key principles here is that we meet with God on God's agenda. He is God. I mean, the enormity of that distinction.
Yeah.
Because I think we want to meet with God like he's an equal. We just need to remember he is God. So he sets the agenda. So we meet with God in his agenda. So understanding what God is doing, and there are a lot of different aspects of this. There are things that, you know, that God is doing in our lives personally. Actually, a lot of what God is doing is deconstructing what is false and building up what is new. And so that's complicated as well, right? And we've talked a bit about that because often we don't want that, you know, the deconstruction part to happen. But part of meeting with God on God's agenda, this is actually why the Bible as a collection of books that bear witness to God speaking to us, God is speaking to us through the Bible, right? And I think this is so foundational. And it's more than just, you know, I open it up and God speaks to me through it, because there's a misunderstanding there because it's like, you know, God's going to answer the questions that I've got today on.
Yeah.
No. The reason why we read the Bible is because it's drawing us into his agenda, right? He has an agenda. Mm. He's doing something in the world and he's drawing us into the stream of what he's doing. And so what the Bible essentially is doing is drawing us into what God is doing. And the essence of human sin is rebellion against God. It's independence and autonomy. It's us setting the agenda for our lives. What the Bible wants to do is draw us out of that, right? That's the deconstruction, and onto his agenda. And the Bible is the blueprint for his agenda. And it's beautiful, actually, that it's a story, because you read the stories of people who are being drawn onto God's agenda. I mean, this is who go their own way and draw. And there's something that happens over time, you know, when you read and reflect on the Bible, is that God will use this to not only help you to understand what his agenda is, but to actually draw you onto that agenda. And so this is completely foundational. In fact, it's like without reading and understanding the Bible, we actually have no context for what God is saying slash doing, right? Mm. God is doing something. Mm. If we do not understand what God is doing, you also don't understand what God is saying, because again, for God, speech and act are the same thing, right? This is where reading the Bible is so foundational, because you're understanding what God is doing. I mean, it's a little bit like if I join a conversation that's been happening for 2 hours, I sit down at a table, and let's say you guys have been having this deep conversation, I sit down at the table and you're joking about things that happened earlier in the conversation, or you're referring to things that happened, and I try to join this conversation, but I feel completely shut out because I don't get the concerns that have been raised. I don't get even why the conversation really started. And so I am on the outer and I'm unable to join in the conversation. And so I think we in our individualistic culture, we tend to start with me and God. But what we need to realize is that God has been having a conversation with us, right?
Yes.
Which means he's been drawing us, as in God's people, since the time of Abraham. I mean, even earlier, of course, yep. But most formally since the time of Abraham. He's been creating an us and drawing an us onto his agenda. And so I need to get up with that conversation, right? Yep. I need to immerse myself in Understand. That stream and in that conversation. So, like, honestly, for me, if you are not regularly meditating on the word of God, as Psalm 1 encourages us to do, you are not interested in hearing from God. I know that sounds harsh, but God has given us his word. To ignore that, I think, is at the most fundamental level, it shows an unwillingness to really hear from God.
I was going to be a little kinder. I think we probably are interested, but we're not willing to do what it takes to hear from God. The willingness, I think, to dig into
the takes
word.
It does take a little bit of work. It takes a little bit of inconvenience.
Of course.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, there's a little bit of sacrifice there. You know, you might have to give up scrolling on your phone. Goodness me. Yeah, what a sacrifice. Yeah. This is an initial layer. You know, we all want to have that word from God, and I just want to hear from God. No, not if you're not seeking God, if you're not responding to what God is doing, certainly at a base level. When I think back on my relationship with God, the role that reading the Bible has had has been so foundational, which is why I say that in such strong terms, you are not interested in hearing from God if you are not meditating on God's word. Because it has been such a primary way. In fact, when I do hear from God throughout the day, it's the framework that Scripture has created.
Context.
In my mind and my heart that actually enables what God is saying / doing throughout the day to even be intelligible.
Yes.
Right? He speaks to me through the framework. Oh, this is like, my response then was a bit like Jacob when he, you know what I mean? It's that I'm mapping my experiences. I'm mapping constantly against Scripture.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, the example I use is, you know, it's like Google Maps when I go overseas and I'm offline. You know, I save offline maps because otherwise all I get is the dot. You know, I see the dot, but I have no idea. I can't navigate.
Yeah.
Because I can see I can see me, but there's no map loading to show me where I actually am.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so what Scripture gives me is the map of where I am in relation to God's purpose. And it enables me to respond to the flow of what God is doing and where he wants me to go. And that's why it's so important.
Mm.
So given all of that, see, this is where this is. You can't just isolate this.
Totally
you can't
right.
just isolate this. God's communication with us is unique in another sense yet again. We've said, you know, he is God. He's always prior in relation to God. We're always in a position of response. We're taking all of that. But it's also different because he's also not just external to us like we are here. He dwells in our hearts, right? So what that means is that God can communicate with us directly. This is partly also why for God, that, you know, speaking and acting are the same because essentially when we communicate with each other, you know, if I communicate with you, like the example that I used, I'm, you know, I want to get something across to you, right? So I try to explain it as well I can. I form words. You know, we talk about communication skills and don't accuse, express how you feel, all these sorts of things, right? So I go through apply all those communication skills and I use my language. And then you receive my words and you try and empathetically reconstruct it. This is all indirect, right? We're using language, which is a wonderful gift of God, okay? But it's still indirect.
Yeah.
So the thing with God is that actually he can communicate directly. He doesn't need to use this indirect form of, and I think sometimes a lot of people want this. I just want a booming voice in the sky.
Yeah, that's right.
No, that's too distant for God. That's not the kind of relationship that he wants. Because he is God, again, he is God, right? So he's fundamentally different, which means that he's not just an object. We're not in a subject-object relationship with God. He dwells within our hearts. And so he will bring things to light. He'll form his truth in it. It's like it floats up from... I remember when I first came to faith, I was at boarding school at a time, so I didn't really have access to discipleship. You know, I didn't really have people to walk with. And my mum said to me, and she was only a young Christian who said, so I think this was the only thing that she could think of, you know, because I've got so many, like, what should I do here and what should I do? And she said, just ask God.
Yep.
You know, perhaps a little naively at the time, but just ask God. So in my naivety, I did. I would say, God, what? I would ask these questions. And I can remember this so distinctly because it was quite a bizarre experience. Like, there are some things that I just came to understand. I would ask this question and then I would just get it, like, ah. And so this was, it was almost like it floated to the surface. The answer sort of floated to the surface.
Yeah.
And to me, to this day, that's sort of how I would express when God speaks to me. It's like it floats somewhat to the surface. It becomes very, very evident. And it's not just words. It can float to the surface in linguistic form.
Mm. Well, that's how you interpret it, because you've got to convert that.
Yeah, that's right.
Into words.
Yeah, we naturally convert into words. This is why, you know, let's say in situations where I might sense, because the other thing is that you, as you said before, God speaks to us through each other, right? There may be something that God wants you to hear that you're not quite getting. And actually, in any case, he might put it on someone else's heart because God wants us to share our relationship with him. So very often, God will put something will float to the surface for another person. Mm. So when I sense that, it's very important, actually, that I recognize that when I communicate that with him, we should, that I don't take my words, that my words are always an interpretation of that. Yeah. They're never infallible, right? This is the importance in when someone says, look, God's saying this to you. I think we've actually got to be very cautious about how we express that. I think we should expect that God will speak to us for other people.
Yeah.
But when he does, you need to be saying something, look, I just feel that God's put something on my heart for you. Make sure that they understand that the way that you express that is very fallible. You know, otherwise that can go in all sorts of our fallibility. They can get tangled up in our
fallibility. It can be very hard to distinguish your own thoughts too, sometimes, from what you think God's...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But the thing is, so this is good. Actually, this is a good point because it brings us to the next step. So how do I know when that thing floats to the surface?
Yeah.
How do I actually know it is God?
And not just my desire.
Right.
Yep.
Well, first of all, this is where knowing the scripture is important, right?
Yeah, exactly.
This is one of the really important things, because there's a deceiver out there as well, right? Now, the amount of times things have floated to the surface and it's like, oh, is this God or is it not? If it makes you like fearful in the wrong sense, if it brings condemnation, not conviction, but condemnation, there are a whole lot of criteria, you know, that immediately can kind of rule that out. I mean, you know, God doesn't want to...
Some people would use a term, because I'm just trying to, some of those words for relatively new believers, sometimes would say it just doesn't sit well with me, it doesn't sit easy with me. There's a sense of discomfort around.
Yeah.
So that could be the condemnation, it could be the fear, whatever it is, there's a sense, because I think a lot of Christians would also say when they feel they have got some clear messaging from God on a particular thing, they have a sense of peace about that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Which is the inverse of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, the way that I know is because of that transformative effect, because what I described before, it comes with such a sense of love and grace.
Yeah.
This is the primary thing, I think, that we experience. Even when it's deep conviction, like the grief of God over me, like really God is really grieved by something. And I'm even happy to use the word anger, right? I've really displeased, angered God. Mm. The correction still comes with love, right? There's still an overwhelming sense of God's love and grace in that.
Yeah.
So I think this is a really important, you know, it doesn't bring despair, doesn't bring condemnation. It doesn't just lock you up in fear. These are all of the things that Satan wants to do. So these are some ways in which we can discern. And of course, it needs to be always consistent with scripture.
I mean, that's always been a dangerous thing that I've always seen anyway with Christians, because there's so much the time that we say, God's telling me this or God's showing me this. I've spoken quite a lot on this podcast where I've been quite specific about God said this, God has told me this. But I'm also someone that when people say God's telling me this or God's told me this, I kind of do a bit of an eye roll
Oh, that's obviously. Just because you're a big skeptic.
I know. I just think, oh, I don't know, the time, you know, I always approach it with a great amount of skepticism because I've had so many conversations with people where it's like...
Connell, I feel that God is speaking to you about your skepticism.
It probably is, but it's like...
Well, there's skepticism and there's cynicism, and we're all a bit cynical. Yeah, a little bit of skepticism is okay.
But I think you raise a good question because when I was younger, I used to feel, well, why couldn't God just tell me that? Why is this person saying I've got a word for you from God? And it's like, well, God can talk to me.
Oh, yeah, but see, this is where, again, it's the us.
Yeah.
This is, I think, underscores the importance of understanding God's agenda, because high on his agenda is community, creating an us. And so he wants to speak to us through others. And this is where I think a healthy community looks like a community where there's lots of this happening.
Mm.
Lots of God put something on my heart for this other person. Now, I want to also say God may put something on your heart so that you can pray for that other person.
Yes.
And I think you need to discern that as well. So part of the conversation you need to have with God is, okay, pray about that. But, you know, if you feel continually prompted to speak to that person, or you can then pray, Lord, give me an opportunity to say this. Or, I mean, look, and if you really feel compelled, I've had messages, you know, from people that have been so timely, amazingly timely.
I think important to say, though, we've got to remember the way that message was given to us in grace and love has to also be delivered to the other person.
Yeah.
In our best efforts of grace and love, because I think there's plenty of people who, oh, I've got a word for you from God and you need to da da da.
And it can be like, just our thought. I mean, I'm just thinking now even, you know, like look at Job and his friends to counsel
them. Yeah, they thought they had a message from God.
They thought they had a message from God.
It was all and theirs was all theologically correct in an important sense. But it was like, that's not what God was saying.
So I still think we need to be real cautious of that, because it's okay to say, look, this is what I'm feeling, and it may or may not be God. Like, we don't need to be so absolute that this is what God's telling me. Like, sometimes we do know. Like, I know times that even talking to people where people have been sharing situations with me and something rises up within me where I suddenly gain some kind of insight into it. Still wouldn't say God's told me. But this is...
Yeah, I mean, it's something that God is forming in you. He's forming his truth in us. This is the thing. It's not... I want to keep stressing the fact, this is better than hearing a booming voice there. Because what he actually is doing, first of all, something much more direct. Paul says in Romans 8 that his spirit testifies with our spirit, that we are children of God. It's like a direct download. He speaks to us through direct download. And also, it's not just in a moment. He's forming throughout various experiences. He wants to form his truth within us and form us into something that's true.
Yeah.
So it's much bigger. And the you know, God said to me, just doesn't quite capture the bigness of that.
So do you think
that process?
Do you think then the principle here is that we don't have to be so absolute, this is what God is saying, but we always qualify it as, this may be, you don't have to say God's telling me this, because it's a sense of almost like as immediately obvious as when someone's speaking to you, it does rise up within you. And there's all sorts of things that rise up within you, your own thoughts and so on. So it's hard to sometimes say for sure that is what God is saying. Is this sort of a sense of like arrogance? It's almost like putting yourself out on a bit of a pedestal that says, God's told me this, as if...
Oh, no, I don't. I think we need a way to
discern, really,
to validate the fact that God is actually speaking to... I mean, and I know that's an anthropomorphism. In other words, it's a human way of speaking about God. Like when we, you know, talk about God reaching down or, you know, things like that. And that's valid. The Bible does that. It speaks in anthropomorphic ways. So I think it's okay to speak about God speaking to us. I just think that we need to put the subjective element there, and we need to just be cautious about how that comes across to other people.
Yeah. But you don't have to be so certain necessarily. You can phrase it in a way of, look, this is what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
It seems to me that it can also be a tool to go, God's telling me this, God's speaking to me in this way. And it's like kind of a spiritual pride or something, or trying to gain some kind of respect from the other person of being in a superior spiritual state. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like...
Yeah, let's take that as a given that, yes, there are all sorts of, unfortunate reasons why we might... But let's assume the best.
Yeah.
You want to share something great. You know, God's just really shown you something. And that's, in fact, often the way that I will express that is, you know, God's really been showing me something. But even that, I've got to hold that open-handedly because... We're not infallible,
pure.
But when it has this combination, I think there's a crucial combination here of it being true, and we have a standard against which to measure whether it's true. We have scripture. Mm. And if it's pertinent to me now, if it transforms me in a way that is true, right, and we can discern that too, then absolutely. Of course, it's what God is doing. God is transforming our lives into what he wants them to be. And so if that realization steps me towards that, of course, it's what God is doing.
Saying. Yeah, my experience, Connell, for me anyway, and perhaps for others as well, is that issue about feeling like the other person is more actually my problem than their problem. In other words, it's my pride in the way of hearing what, like we said before, I don't want to hear what God's got to say to me. So I think for me, more often it's been, I don't want to hear from you because of my pride, not because of their spiritual pride. It's more that I'm not willing to. But I think the other thing, Matt, and I remember you talking about this many, many years ago, sometimes we throw out the baby with the bathwater in a sense, because there's one thing that just doesn't sit well with us. And so we throw out all the things that we go, well, God could have been actually speaking to me about that. You know?
Yeah, and that's a good point. Yeah, that is a good point. And that's part of recognizing the fallibility.
Yeah.
You know, someone might bring a word to us. And this is probably another topic, because
the prophetic role,
which I think is something that we're all called to have some kind of prophetic role. I know there's a particular gift of prophecy, but, you know, it's probably another thing. But recognizing our fallibility there is an important principle.
Just to keep moving, because we need to wrap up fairly soon, a couple of things for me, I just want to share experience where trying to determine, you know, that kind of inner sense of God speaking to me, it's nearly always accompanied by either peace, urgency, or clarity. You're like, I'm not sure about something, and there becomes clarity, or there's a sense of peace, or there's a sense of urgency. Actually, man, I need to go and apologize about that right now.
Yeah, that's great.
It's not like something that's just vague. It's like when I feel like God's really speaking to me, it's one of those three things.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that I would say is I think it's important to understand that God speaks clearly enough to guide us, but mysteriously enough to invite us to trust him. So there's a balance between those two things. If we're always looking for God just to tell us do this, then there's not a level of us actually having to grow and learn in our own way. And any of us who are parents have realized with our kids, we often let them make choices so that they understand and learn.
Yeah.
But we steer them, as you said before, Connell, there's guardrails up and we keep them safe, but we want them to learn to grow in the story that is their life, as God wants us to do in the story that is what he's been unfolding over thousands of years.
That's great. Let me finish with this thought. God really wants to form us in a way where we can have a really strong relationship with him. So he will do this. If we're up for this, he will teach us. Prayer isn't just difficult. It's actually impossible without God. This is why we don't just pray to God. We pray with God, right? Mm-hmm. I think ultimately God has to teach you to pray. God has to teach us to hear from him. He is the one that makes this relationship into what he wants it to be. And he is actually doing that. And so I think we need to continue to ask for that, ask for what God wants to do. It's a way of us aligning our desires with his desires. You know, this is a great thing, Lord. Teach me to hear from you. Teach me to have a better relationship that I have now with you. Teach me to hear you throughout the day. Don't hear all of this and despair and, you know, like this is something that we have to achieve. No, remember, God's already at work, and just ask him to help you. Ask for his help, because he will help, because this is the thing. He gave everything in Christ so that we could have this, and he will do it.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Thrive Perspectives. Our hope is that these discussions will challenge you to look at life from a new perspective. You'll find all our resources at the Thrive Today website, thrivetoday.tv.
there's a topic that you'd like us to discuss, please email us. Our email is contact@thrivetoday.tv. Until next time, our prayer is that you will thrive.